I've got some big news, spiritual hustlers. The spiritual hustler movement just got a little bit bigger. We are now officially on YouTube. That means you can now watch full episodes, see all of the energy in real time, and connect with me and my epic guests on a whole new level. If you love listening, and I'm pretty sure you do because you're here, imagine how much more powerful it is to see the passion, the breakthroughs, the genius of my guests, the magic unfold right in front of you. So hit the link in the show notes to subscribe, turn on your notifications, and come join us for even more fun, branding, business, spirituality, and divine feminine magic over on YouTube. Now, let's dive in to today's episode. Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Zweig, multi-seven-figure serial entrepreneur, best-selling author, and branding and business coach. And this is a show where we are redefining the word hustle, reclaiming our true feminine nature of magnetism, and putting down the self-judgments and shame around loving to work and making a lot of money at it. On this show, you're going to learn how to stop hustling and start spiritually hustling. By pressing play, you are now part of a new movement of women who don't hustle for money. We hustle for meaning. We don't hustle from lack. We hustle for love. We don't hustle from survival. We hustle for humanity's thriving. We hustle toward healing the ancestral programming of fear and step into a new understanding of safety in the body to receive. This shift isn't going to only heal your life. It's going to make you a whole lot richer too. This is the Spiritual Hustler Podcast.
Well, hello and welcome back to the Spiritual Hustler Podcast, my beautiful friends. I am so excited to be here with you guys on this very, very, I think, necessary solo episode where I am going to go really deep on what I think is one of the most critical aspects of being a female entrepreneur to hone and to get right, which is becoming a salesperson, to really understanding your sales process, becoming incredibly confident in closing deals, and also becoming super resilient when you don't. Okay. All of this is sales. Welcome to the agony and the beauty it is to be honestly an entrepreneur, because we are at the core our own best salesperson. I often say no one can sell like a founder. Yes, in time as your business scales, you'll have a setter and a closer and a sales team and maybe a director of sales as you grow in your particular industry and vertical, whatever lane your business is in. But at the end of the day, you got to know how to talk to people, babe, and how to really set up your business from an outside perspective, brand, marketing, to bring people into your world in a very rinse and repeatable but predictable fashion. And I am going to close clients. And today I'm going to break this down. Now, first and foremost, I want to say that I came in hot. I'm your host, Jessica. And I live to talk about the business side of this podcast. Here on the Spiritual Hustler Podcast, we are talking about all things woo and the spiritual and the magical and the quantum and the 5D and the Palladian. Like, we go deep on all of that stuff, but we also have to talk about the hustling side of who we are as women. And we have reframed that word as a positive on this podcast to really allow women to claim the fact that they want to be powerful. They want to be successful. We want to make money. We want to be impactful. We want to make a difference in the world. And those two things, the spiritual and the business, do not need to be separated. In fact, they have to be intrinsically connected in order for us to heal from our unhealthy relationship to our hustle, which is the premise of this entire podcast. And so I sent out a Instagram story. If you haven't yet found me on Instagram, please come and say hi. I'm at Jessica Zweig. I'm there a lot, probably more than I should be, but it's how I communicate with all of you guys and really understand where you're at, who you are, what you're looking for. And I posed a question a couple weeks ago in my stories that just said, if you could wave a magic wand and fix anything in your business, what would it be? And I am not exaggerating when I say 90% of you all had to say, how do I get more clients? Which was really fascinating. I'm going to walk you through the 10-step process that is going to help you close your dream clients with so much more ease, alignment, flow, and traction. Step number one. Have you all heard of the term ICP? If you haven't yet, now is the time, okay? It stands for Ideal Customer Profile. And I will tell you that when I started my agency, Simply Be, I was like, everyone needs a personal brand. Every single stage of career, whether you're the CEO or a junior level employee looking to climb up, whether you're in real estate, spirituality, lifestyle, fashion, doctors, lawyers, recruiters, everyone was my client at Simply Be Agency, this business that I ran for 7 years and ultimately sold. And this is a very true story. For the first 5 years, we didn't have an ICP. And ICP really cracks down into the demographics, the psychographics, the buying behavior, the geolocation, the industry, the income brackets, the pain points, of course, the unique value proposition and selling messaging that's needed to hit those pain points with that identity, with your solution. I hope you were just now taking notes on all of the things I just broke down. I didn't have any of that for the first 5 years of my business. And while we were getting a lot of business and I was indeed growing and I got clients, indeed, the business was really chaotic. And eventually, because we were taking on all these different clients and there was no real streamlined process internally on how to meet our clients, our core clients, where they were, because we were trying to be everything to everyone. We eventually plateaued. It was the year 2022. I talk about this year all the time. It was the year of my total burnout, depression, and the year I went to Egypt, but that's besides the point. I kind of couldn't believe that our sales had plateaued because I was like on this high of my revenue looking like in a mountain ascension straight up for 5 years straight. And then all of a sudden it stopped and I felt like a failure, to be honest. And the long of the short of it is we realized that we had gotten to a point where we couldn't be everything to everyone. In fact, we never could have been everything to everyone. And we had to really dial in who our ICP was. And what we did is we looked at our best clients and our worst clients. And we ran them through a rubric, basically asking ourselves as a business, as an internal team, what made these clients the best clients we had? And what were the qualities of our worst clients? And we looked for common threads because we had at that point served a lot of clients. And it was so evident that the best clients that we had were all in B2B spaces, technology spaces, software innovation, AI, CPG. Those were our best clients. And we had served so many others throughout the years that fell outside of those categories in depth. And I remember my team looking at me and saying, we have to go after just this client. And I was terrified. I was like, we cannot be that narrow. We will completely lose out on business. And what ended up happening, because I trusted my team as any good CEO should, it completely transformed our business. Within the next 9 to 12 months, every single one of our clients were that avatar, that ICP. They were top paying clients. They were the best partnered clients, meaning they treated my team with so much respect. They saw the value in what we did. These were the things that we looked for in that rubric. What were the qualities that really made our business shine and thrive? And by the end of 2023, I had gotten my business to a place where it was a sellable asset. I had grown my revenue. We had right-sized all of our client accounts. We were profitable. And my buyer, Hawk Media, came knocking at that perfect time. And we could not have gotten there unless we had ICP'd the shit out of our business. So step one, ICP. You've got to have it before you spread yourself too thin, and don't be afraid to go narrow and deep and write down all of that information. And so step one, determine step two. And step two is your marketing and sales continuum. So there is a true magic between the marketing and sales side of your business. The marketing is the engine that is here to feed your sales lead generation pool of prospects constantly, right? And the left hand and the right hand have to talk to each other. You can't just think of your marketing as this beautiful creative expression of brand awareness. You have to be super intentional with your copy, with the calls to action, with the customer journey that you're taking your client on online into your world. And in order for this to be effective, truly effective, you have to go back to your ICP, okay? You have to look at her or his identity, pain points, buying behavior, psychographics, emotions, demographics, all of it needs to be the foundation to your marketing messaging. I am coaching my women in my mastermind right now. I'm coaching women in Feminine Frequency Business School. I have a membership program. I will always, when it comes to brand identity and messaging and all the fun, creative and beautiful visuals that we want to bring to life in our brands, none of it is relevant unless you've identified your core ideal customer profile. The marketing speaks to that girl in messaging, in Instagram captions, in hooks, on email subject lines, on podcast topics, in your visual brand identity, in your lead magnets, in all of your drip campaigns and funnels, ultimately your call to action to buy. By the time they have gotten to that request of buy from me or take a call with me, take that next action that requires you to give up your time, your email address, your resources. You have to have created trust, likability, familiarity, memorability way before that moment. I heard back in the day that it takes like 7 touch points psychologically online before anyone makes a decision to say yes to you. That has totally changed. I believe it's somewhere close to like 20 plus touch points because of how saturated the internet has gotten. And so marketing and sales must work together in a continuum in order for you to be getting those right leads in the door that are warm, that know, like, and trust you. And your marketing is here to help you do that. All right, number 3. You know who your customer is, you get them through your beautiful marketing journey into your pipeline, and they've booked a call with you. It's time to close the deal. So number 3, we have to talk about your sales call framework. So I want you to really think about your own unique business here because everyone is different. But one of the biggest ways to truly allow the client to trust you in that very, very first phone call is to lead the client based on the questions you ask. So in the very first call, you are setting the stage that you are not the expert guru, but you are going to be their partner. But the important thing to also remember is that you are not the lesser. Okay. A lot of women I coach get on sales calls, and because they're the one, you know, ultimately there to ask for the deal, they energetically put themselves underneath the client. Like the client has more power in that call. And if you really, really, truly want to go deeper on this, I highly recommend on the energetics piece and not proving your worth and really standing in your value and being of service, go back and listen to what needs to energetically shift to go from 6 to 7 to multi-7 figures in revenue. That was a really powerful episode. I highly recommend you go listen to that. Bring that energy into your sales calls. Today, I want to talk about the framework. So you really need to identify, I would say, 5 to 7 questions that every client, remember, they are lucky to work with you. You are their partner. They need your help. And so in order to get to the bottom of how you can best help them, you have to structure those calls to get the information you need to, one, create the trust, but two, create the perfect opportunity to guide them into your business, whether that's a one-on-one consulting experience, a program you offer, a live experience you're selling, whatever it might be. So questions can be, what is your biggest challenge in your business right now? Who besides you inside of your team or family system or company needs to be a part of this decision, if anyone? A lot of the times clients need to go back and talk to their husband, or they need to run it by their COO, understanding who is involved in the decision-making process for them to give you that yes. And here's what I will say about, and this leads into number four, what I will say about the power of having a framework is that it creates a psychological trust factor on a subconscious level when you get on a call with your prospect, because you're guiding the conversation so clearly and thoroughly and confidently that that immediate, oh, this person knows what they're doing, energy typically reveals itself. Because most of the time on these sales calls, people just want to be heard and they just want to feel like you understand them. And if you can guide the conversation strategically to get you what you need, it's a win-win, which leads us to number four, which is holding those calls with a certain type of confidence and energy that creates an instant connection. So I'm going to be quick on number four because this is a golden rule that will change your life. But when you are on sales calls, the very first way you want to open it up is building rapport, right? Like, tell me about yourself. Where are you based? Don't make small talk about the weather. Like, immediately get to know them. Ask them questions about them. Then you can, of course, move into your questions and do that investigation and discovery of what they're looking for and why you might be and most likely are the right partner. But here's the key on sales calls. Don't talk that much. In fact, you should talk 20% of the time, and your prospect should talk 80% of the time. The more you listen and learn, the more intel you're going to get, but two, the more they're going to feel held and seen by you. Now, number five, I want to highly encourage you to never, ever, ever, ever leave a sales call without a next step. Okay. So you don't want to just say goodbye. I'll be in touch. I'll be following up in a few days. Take a look at my materials and let me know how you feel and reach back out when you're ready. Like, no, this is what we did at Simply Be Agency flawlessly and meticulously. And I really, really have to say this one single strategy was one of the best tactics we used to continue to drive revenue into our door. So every single time we were about to get off a call, if the client hadn't said yes on that call, we booked another call on that call, a follow-up call right there and then. That way, if they're like, well, I need to think about it, send me your proposal and I'll take my time, there is immediately booked time within a week on the calendar where we talk again. So you never want to get off a sales phone call without scheduling a next step. Remember, you are there to lead the client, guide the client as their partner, not as their guru and not as their lesser than, but as their partner. And I will say this too, guys, when we did this, there was never any friction. It was always like, okay, cool. Yeah, let's take a follow-up call. Because at this point, if you have followed steps 1 through 5 and you know who your client is, they've come in warm. They are feeling guided by you in that first conversation. They're feeling listened to in that first conversation. You're following up with them and giving them more of your time is a gift. Now, in the interim, number six, you want to really follow up with customized proposals and documents that do not feel turnkey at all. Whether it's sending them a proposal as a next step to say, here's a list of my services, or if you're trying to sell a program and they've already seen all the details, they're just debating whether or not they buy, that follow-up message, I believe, has to come from the heart. It has to be personalized. You want to really call back anecdotally the small things you heard on that phone call with them. You really want to come through in that email, not pushy or salesy, but empowering, that you're holding a vision for them and their next level of expansion and success that you know you can help them with. Now, I want to really double click into that. I don't want you to say things like, it would be such an honor to work with you. I would be so grateful for this opportunity. In that moment, you're energetically putting yourself below the client again. So what you want to say is, I am so excited to help you get there. This is such an exciting moment for you and your business, and I can't wait to be a part of it. And one final little micro hack on the follow-up process, step number six, is be very, very intentional with your subject lines. So you don't want to say in your subject line, for example, following up on your proposal. Okay, that feels just dry and salesy and not very personalized. what we did and what I do in the subject line of my emails to follow-ups after sales calls is I say something along the lines, when I was running Simply Be Agency, it would be like transforming Anne Marie into a thought leader. That was the subject line. So we're immediately saying to the client, this isn't about me closing a deal with you. This is about helping you get to where you want to go, right? It's a completely different psychology. Now, number seven is really the game of sales, which is why I feel like it's so powerful that so many of you in my DMs ask me this. And this is really what I was talking about in last week's episode on energy. But truly, when it comes to sales, we have to practice the art of detachment. Because at the end of the day, you have absolutely no control over what people decide to do. If they decide to buy with you, if they decide to negotiate with you, if they decide to compare you to other options, and if they decide it's not a fit, you only have control over your own internal response and where your thinking and monkey mind and anxiety might go. And when we really, truly energetically detach, this shows up not just on the flip side of a sales call, but during the sales call, in our marketing and in our messaging, the way we show up every single day on social media, the way we present ourselves at events when we're sitting on panels or networking. It's this experience of feeling like who's meant for me is meant for me and everyone else is just perfect. You really have to believe that when a door closes, multiple windows open. This is the true flex of sales, which is trust. And it's a practice and it's a muscle. I get it, but it's really truly one of the most activating frequencies of magnetism. When you know your own codes of value, that you don't have to chase, convince, prove, grovel for any single sales opportunity because you know your own worth. People feel that. People really, truly feel that. And that is just a part of the whole process. This isn't necessarily linear. Number seven, but truly practicing the art of detachment, it will change the game for you. Now, I want to talk about number eight, overcoming objections, because you're going to get them. And it's important to, of course, be in integrity when someone's like, well, what if you can't do this? And you can't just be honest that your capabilities only go as far as they go, or your program is intended for X result if they're looking for Y. You have to be honest. But most of the time, objections are just coming from self-limiting beliefs, typically a fear of investing in themselves, that they're worth it. Timing is also often an issue. Capacity is often an issue. And so really going through your unique business and identifying what have been the common blocks behind why people have said no to working with you, and look for those common themes and then come up with and sketch your particular reframe. So for example, I'll make this tangible. I have my feminine frequency business school, right? And a lot of the women that have come through, you know, everyone has questions, potentially objections to why this would or would not be a fit for what they're looking for. And one of the common objections or questions is, you know, I'm really looking for a one-to-one coach. I don't know if a group program is for me. I don't really do one-on-one coaching anymore. So that's not even an option for me to counter with and offer. So I know that question is typically going to come up on sales calls. And so in my back pocket, I have the reframe to that objection, which is the truth that when we actually come together and study in group, we expand and learn so much more, that there is even more value in sitting in a container of women who are asking me questions in front of the whole community that you would have never have thought to ask me, that you get to benefit from. So it's a multiplier effect of what you would get with me one-to-one in a container where you're learning from other women, but you're also learning from other women who are getting coached by me. And it becomes this sort of kaleidoscope multiplier effect of value that you couldn't get in a one-to-one. Now, number nine is the art of closing with ease. So there is the soft close and there is the hard close. Let's start with the hard close, because I think this is typically what makes a lot of us very uncomfortable. Sometimes you just have to be direct. You have to be super, super direct and have a clear, bolded call to action that this client needs to make their decision by end of the week at this time with the link to pay. Okay. And if that makes you uncomfortable, I want you to still try it and wrap it in your beautiful, loving language, but to be incredibly direct that you don't have to grovel or beg, but they have to make a decision, and that you have boundaries around the type of work that you do and the timeline that you do it at, the minimums you do it for. I really want to empower you to truly stand in your value. I was actually working with another client the other day who is in finance actually, and she had been going back and forth with this couple that was interested in hiring her as a financial advisor, and they have a nice amount of money, and this couple, they're wealthy, and she's really looking to bring that entire book of business into her portfolio. And she's been talking to this client for like 6 months, and they won't make a decision. And they finally write and they say, well, we would be willing to, you know, maybe invest $25,000 to $30,000 with you. They have millions of dollars for whatever it's worth. And my client just was like, what do I do? And we talked about it. And I was like, you have minimums now, because she didn't a few years ago as she was building her business. And she wrote back the most beautiful, elegant, detached, boundary setting email. And she said, I am really looking for clients to build a true longstanding relationship with me starting at this minimum. And she went on to explain a little bit about the benefits of an integrated, holistic financial advisor in your life. And that client closed. So this is a little between the hard sell and the soft sell, where we are standing in our value and we are naming our price and we're willing to walk away. Having that energy, kind of going back to number 7, detachment, is super, super key. Always making sure that your language is elegant and powerful and loving and kind and integrity, but firm. Okay. I remember seeing the Beyonce documentary like years and years and years ago. This was on one of her past albums. Maybe it was Lemonade. I don't know, remember, but she said, cause she's like the CEO of her entire brand and life and insane, and watches everyone back on video so she can critique all her dancers and musicians and herself. And she said, in one particular, now this was in regards to feedback to her team, but I'll never forget it. I apply it everywhere, that you can be kind, but firm. You can be firm, but you need to be kind. And so it's all around the frequency of your communication in that follow-up. And don't be afraid to hold your value, just like my financial advisor client did. And then finally, number 10 is to continually refine and optimize steps 1 through 9. So to recap, you want to continue to refine your ICP. You want to continue to optimize and tweak your marketing process. You want to continue to refine and optimize your sales call frameworks. You want to record all of your calls to make sure you're rewatching yourself to lead those calls with continued confidence. Number 5, you are booking calls on the call for that next step. You are tweaking and refining your follow-up communication and documents and how you present and communicate your value and their opportunity in those follow-up emails. Make sure that you are staying energetically aligned to your own value and detached to the outcome. Make sure you create a checklist of all of the different reframes you can give to common objections. And you want to master the art of your follow-up based on the hard close or the soft close, and continue to rinse and repeat. And so this was a real look under the hood of all of the ways in which I currently do sales, how my team and I are optimizing my business as it stands, growing to multi-7 figures in revenue. This was really a playbook on how we're doing it, as much as how I did it in my agency, Simply Be, that I ran for 7 years from net zero nothing to a multi-7 figure exit. Same playbook. So it's yours. Take it, run with it, rinse and repeat it. Trust yourself. Go expand that abundance, sister. You have got this. All right. I will see you on the next episode of the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. Bye, guys.